If you'll open up your Bibles this morning, we're going to look at a passage, the great. This is the great prayer of the God-man praying to God. John 17:13. If you're taking notes, I've entitled the message, The Sin of Not Being Joyful. The sin of not being joyful. Thus saith the Lord. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Before we look at our passage, let's pray that the Holy Spirit would give us ears to listen, and he would open up our understanding. Father, as we come to this passage, we pray that you would give us the ears to listen, Lord, and that you, Holy Spirit, that you would walk amongst us and stir our hearts. And if there be one here who's not saved, we pray you might call them to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And we pray that everything from my mouth, Lord, would be from you, and I thank you, Father, for this message and just the way you've given it to me. Thank you for it all. In Christ's name, amen. I'd like to bring your attention this morning to a great sin that all of us commit, I dare say, almost daily. It's a sin that's veiled. It's a sin that's common. And it's a sin that's seldom, if ever, thought of. I'm talking about the sin of not being joyful. Most Christians don't think much of not being joyful. They don't think of it as a sin. But the Bible says that it is. And I suppose someone could argue that in life there are many times when it is not easy to be joyful. Time when it's difficult to deal with some of the events that are going on in our life. But I would tell the soul who believes that, they have biblical joy confused with happiness. And I would add that biblical joy has absolutely nothing to do with happiness. Let me explain. Happiness is an emotional response we feel when we appease our flesh. By that I mean, when we buy a new car, we're happy. When we go on vacation, we're happy. When we get a pay raise, if ever, we're happy. And even a good meal will make most of us happy. So you see, happiness is an emotion that we create for ourselves with different things. And I would also have you note that the things that create happiness all belong to this world. And the problem with that is that all the things that belong to this world are temporal. They're temporary. They have a shelf life. That means that when the new car shine wears off on that automobile that you bought, the happiness wears off with it. Then people have to go out and find new things to make them happy. And that is the repeating cycle of happiness that people go through until the moment they die. Biblical joy, on the other hand, is altogether different than happiness. To begin with, Christian joy is not just something that's an emotional response. It's a state of mind. For example, when a believer's life is sweet, of course, they're filled with happiness and joy. But it's also true that when affliction or sickness or any other negative thing happens in their lives, the joy they had never leaves them. It's for sure they suffer, they grieve, we weep, their hearts are broken, but the Bible says their joy never leaves them. Listen to what Habakkuk in chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 says about joy. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the oil of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And then listen to what the writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 10, 32 through 34. But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partially whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. And here's the good part, the end of the verse. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and listen, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. When they were going off to visit other Christians that had been persecuted and imprisoned, as they're walking away from their home, they saw the crowd coming up. And as they walked further away, they saw the fire. And they knew that everything they owned in this world was gone. And the Bible says, took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. And I would also like to remark on what 1 Peter 4:12 tells us. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. As you can see, Christian joy has nothing to do with appeasing the desires of our flesh. Rather, it's a state of mind that allows a believer to be joyful in any circumstance of life. And there are several reasons why a Christian can be joyful, no matter what's going on in their life. To begin with, biblical joy is not something the Christian creates. It's a gift from God. Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes 2:26, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. And our text this morning is another proof verse. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. You see, the joy that fills every believer's heart, it comes and only comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Because Galatians 5:22 tells us that joy is the second cluster of fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit. And you cannot have the fruit of the Spirit without being a genuine Christian. Romans 8:9 reminds us, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I would also have you note that since joy is a gift from God, then it is not a temporary gift. It is an eternal gift. It's like the little bunny with the battery. It's a gift that keeps on giving. Right now, as we sojourn here together on earth, brothers and sisters, every believer's heart should be filled with joy, overflowing with joy, regardless of the circumstances in their life, simply because of the great promises that we have from God Himself. Romans 8:1 should make you giddy with joy. It should make you jump up and down with joy, because it means no eternal lake of fire awaits you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Chew on that promise for a day, over and over throughout your day. There is therefore now no condemnation. There's no condemnation to you, Jeff, Tom, Aurelia. No condemnation. If that doesn't fill your heart with joy, what about Ephesians 2:18? For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Shouldn't joy overflow in your heart, beloved, knowing that you have access to the Creator himself? Do you understand the incredible privilege and power that comes from having a voice with God? There are many people in this world that believe in God, and I'll use a little g with that. And everybody prays. Everybody prays. But believers in Jesus Christ, born again by the blood of Christ, those who walk on the narrow path, those who take this book seriously and literally, and they press it into their heart every day, they have the ear of Jehovah Elohim. They have the ear of Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. They have the ear of Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, because you're at peace with God if you know Christ. How could that not make you joyful? Do you know why people in this world fear death so much? Because deep down in their heart, they know it's a punishment. They know that death came about as a result of sin, and that it's universal, and that's the proof of it. That's why they fear death. If you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, then you've already died. And as a result of that death, you've been born again, and you will never taste it again. Yes, the body will corrupt. It'll be buried. But you'll never die. And I say that even to the lost. They'll never die either. If you don't know Christ as Savior, you are just as much of an eternal being as I am. The only difference is I'm going to be in a different place. And because I'm going to be in a different place, I'm overflowing with joy. People say to me, how come you're on fire for the Lord? How could I not be on fire for the Lord? He took me out of the fire, and he put it in my heart. And because he put it in my heart, no matter what else happens in this world, I know where I'm going, and I know that this point here is only this big and an eternity that fills the universe. How can I have a bad hair day? How can I be depressed? If I run out of money, that's okay. I came into this world with no money, and I'm going to leave it with no money. If I come into this world and I'm given an affliction that tears me apart, it doesn't matter. It isn't going to be here long. That's joy, just knowing who I am. And the problem with the church today is it's weak, and it's weak because it doesn't have joy anymore. It's too interested in all the things of the world, all the glitter of the world, getting in the numbers in the church, doing all the different things that churches do today, except be joyful in Christ. There isn't a person listening to this message right now, not one of you, including myself, who's not guilty of the sin of not being joyful. Not one of us. Brothers and sisters, how in the world can you not be overjoyed if you believe that God has adopted you and made you a member of His household? And right now, this very instant, John 14, verses 2 and 3, promise us that our Savior right now is preparing a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and that where I am, there ye may be also. How could you not be overflowing with joy knowing that you're going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ? You see, it isn't what you wear. It isn't where you live. It doesn't matter what you have in the bank or not in the bank. It doesn't matter if you're pretty. It doesn't matter if you're old. It doesn't matter if you're male or you're female. The only thing in this world that matters is whether or not you know Jesus Christ the Savior, because that's the reason we're here. And if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you have the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. You have that. You cannot be empowered with any greater power than you own right now in Jesus Christ. We talked this morning on our open Bible study about the power we have in Christ, and the reason we don't use it is because we don't believe it. The reason we don't use it is because we don't think to use it, because we're thinking from the wrong side of the cup. No matter what's in your cup right now, I don't care if your cup is full, half full, or there's just a little slug of it left, about this much. If you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you should be the most joyous person in the room, because that cup doesn't mean anything. The joy of knowing Christ should overflow your heart. It should trump anything that's going on in your life. How many people here that know me has ever heard me say anything when somebody says, how you're doing? What's my response? Better than I deserve, because I believe with all of my heart I am doing better than I deserve. As a matter of fact, I'm doing better than 99% of the world is doing, no matter where I am. And so are you. Wake up. Can you see that unlike happiness, not one of God's joyful blessings has anything to do with pleasing the flesh? All of them, every joy, every single one of them are spiritual in nature. Christian joy isn't about the material things. Yes, we have them. Yes, we need them. Yes, we pray for them. But that's not what joy is about. And when we finally leave this wilderness planet, and that's how I view living here, I view this as a wilderness planet, just like Israel did in the desert. It was a wilderness. And I got to tell you, every single day since I've been born again, I eat the manna and I pick it up daily, because you can only have it for a day. And I eat it. I've learned to feed myself. I've learned to feed others. Make no mistake about it, this planet is your wilderness if you know Christ as your Savior. And you're not going to be here. You might be here for 40 years. You might be here for 50 or 80. Or let's say on the offside that there's a child listening to this. You might be here for 100 years. But that's nothing. What do you think 100 years is when you're in heaven 50 million years? What's 100 years? And when we finally leave this wilderness planet and we get to the promised land, guess what? Our joy will follow us into eternity. Under God's inspiration, King David promises us in Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy." And I love the end of this verse. "At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." That belongs to you, Aurelia. That belongs to you, June and Ron. Eat it every day. "At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." It belongs to all of God's children. Take it out and eat it every day. The psalmist also tells us in Psalm 5:11, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." And the Apostle Paul, how important is joy? The Apostle Paul gives us a command to be joyful. It's not an option to be joyful. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." If you go into the original language, it's done in the imperative tense. That means it's a command to do it. Rejoice. And we're commanded to be joyful for a very solemn reason. Because the gift of joy that was given to us was paid for with sacred blood. It didn't just happen. The one who was sinless, he took Raymond's sin on his back. He took Violet's sin on his back. He took Brian's sin on his back. And it took God Almighty 3 hours in the dark to lay the sins of all the world upon his son. That's what it cost for Tom to have his heart overfilled with joy. So when you allow the events of this life or spiritual battles to steal your joy, you're dishonoring the one who took your sins so that you might have that joy. You see, our failure to live joyful lives under any circumstance detracts from Christ's work, and it casts doubt to an unbelieving world on what he did for us. The Lord has done what he claims. He came to suffer for his people. He came to overcome the world. Then his people should be a joyous people. And our failure to live joyful lives in the midst of any trial, in the midst of any tribulation or affliction, is dishonoring to the sacrifice he made that you might have that joy. Yes, we're going to suffer. We're going to grieve. We're going to weep. And our hearts will be broken. But through it all, we have hope. And hope is the wellspring of joy. You see, Christ is our hope. He came to give us his joy so that we could overcome any adversity in this world. And as we struggle with our lives, we're to cling to him and to the joy that comes to us through him. We're to cling to him for strength. And in the process, we glorify him and our Father as well. I've said this to many people. I've said it to people on their deathbeds. I've said it to people who were struck with terrible injuries, horrible diseases, And I tell you as well, you will never have a better time to worship God, to glorify God, and to please God than when you're filled with the joy, even in the midst of affliction. You'll never have a better time. But a miserable Christian does not and cannot glorify God. You can't glorify God if you're just getting by or just hanging in there. You can't glorify your Savior in the work He did if your life is filled with complaints. And you can't glorify your Heavenly Father if you go through this life just like a sad sack. I'd also like you to know that if you're sitting here or listening to this and you have the gift of joy through knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, that joy cannot be taken away from you by the world or by any man. John 16:22 is my proof verse. Jesus says, "Your joy no man taketh from you." You can certainly give it up on your own, and that's the problem today, I believe. People have given up on being joyful. But God says it can't be taken from you. The only way you lose it is when you don't use it. A believer can choose to live a life that's filled with complaints, miseries, whatever. But God's gift of joy is waiting for them to repent and to reclaim it. The point is, unlike happiness, Christian joy is entirely independent from this world and its cares. The Lord was in the world and He was not of it. He walked in perfect peace, and even when the children of wrath tortured Him, His joy never left Him. The writer to the Hebrews wrote, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. You see, they couldn't get to Him, and they can't get to you if you embrace your Lord's perfect joy. What an example Jesus was to all of us when it comes to rejoicing, even while we're suffering through something. In closing, let me ask you, Christian, let me ask you, is the joy that Christ died to give you being buried by the problems of your life? Are you so caught up in the little kingdom of I that you've forgotten the greatest treasure you will ever own? If I'm speaking to a brother or sister here, simple advice: reclaim your joy. Repent and claim your joy. And the way you do that is you take God's word and you soak your heart in it. Take a passage from Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. Take that verse and then watch how God begins to sweeten your day. Or take Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And chew on that for a day and see if it doesn't help you with loneliness, heartache, or pain. And what believing soul cannot be filled with joy when they consider what Jesus prays for us in John 17:24. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am. You see, beloved, the key to keeping God's joy in your life is to realize what it costs to give you that present, that gift, and to not take it and dishonor it by letting a few problems of life steal it. If you're sitting here today and you know Jesus Christ as Savior, I'm here to tell you something. The Bible's very clear. You cannot be possessed. The Bible's pretty clear that all that the devil and his minions can do to you is one specific thing. Steal your joy. The world cannot take anything from you except your joy. And men can steal nothing from you except your joy. Everything you own belongs to someone else. Everything. Your house, even if you own it outright, you ain't taking it with you. I have never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse, ever. So the most valuable possession you have, and by the way, I would also add that every non-believer sees your joy or the lack of it. And Paul tells us we're to be ambassadors for Christ, and an ambassador is one who is a model from where he came from. How many times have I seen and heard the unsaved say, well, that Christian's a hypocrite. He has Christ, he has the cross, he's going to heaven, he's got all that. But look at him. He's a sad sack all the time. He's never happy. But that's all they know is happy. He meant to say he's never joyful, because we forget just what God has given us. You must, with the eyes of faith, no matter what happens in your life, with the eyes of your faith, you must stop looking horizontally, you must look vertically, and you must believe Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. If you take that one verse and you put it right here, it doesn't matter what else is going on in your life. That reservoir of joy will overflow. And I'm here to tell you this as well. That when you have the faith to believe and your joy overflows, it overflows into a lost world and they see it. And they want it because they don't have it. When that joy overflows, and you walk into a church and there's a brother or a sister that's going through a difficult time, they see it. It encourages them. I have never seen anything good come from any Christian who wasn't overflowing with joy. You have to reach out and grab a spiritual promise in God's word every day. Because you're under attack every day. And this is a poultice. For you young people, a poultice is just a sack with medicine in it. Right there. You put it there every day. Take a verse. Right there every day. Healing. Spiritual healing. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And this is the only thing that defeats principalities and powers. And I'd even say that when the angel of death comes knocking on your door, tell him, I've already died with Christ, angel, but please come. Separate me from this corruptible body that I might be in the presence of my Lord. And then you might even cry out to him like your brother Paul did. O grave, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You've already died. If that doesn't make you joyful, brothers and sisters, I don't know what will. But if you follow this simple advice about taking your heart and soaking it in God's word, I promise you, my dearly beloved, your joy will not only overflow, your joy will last you a lifetime. I mentioned at the beginning of the message that biblical joy comes from knowing Christ as Lord and Master of your life. Not just up here, but how you walk your life every day. That's how you know that you're a Christian, a believing Christian. If you sit listening to this message and you haven't yet come to Christ, then that joy is not available to you. Happiness is. But if you feel God stirring your heart, this message, then see me after the service or call me, and I'll show you in God's Word how He's trying to call you, how He's willing to give you the joy of Jesus Christ. Call me. Let's pray. First, Father, I pray for all my brothers and sisters in Christ who are not overflowing with joy. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would catch their heart on fire. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would rouse them from their slumber and let them taste how good the Lord is. Give us all the strength, Lord, to realize that the afflictions of this world, the events in our life, are put there, Lord, by you, or allowed to be there by you, so that we might be in a place where you would have us be. Help us, Lord, to do that in joy, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning.